Amen. Praise God. Praise God. Let's do one more shout of praise tonight. Hallelujah. Isn't God good? Amen. Praise God. Praise God. Once you high five someone, greet someone, say hello. Tell them how great they look tonight. Tell them you look awesome. You's awesome. You is awesome. Praise God. You is awesome. You is awesome.
That's what we got going on at Kings. For more information, stop at our Connect group, visit us at kcwestvirginia.com, and follow us on Facebook and Instagram. Why? Because we love you.
Amen. Praise God. Praise God. Hey, I know this weekend, it's a nomometer back there. Huh? Yeah. I'm going to give. You might just let that go. I might just see if I can preach this sermon tonight in a rap. Wouldn't that be cool? James 1:4. Praise God. Yeah, I was pulling back up in the 80s, you know, there in my beatbox, and I was wrapping it up, and, you know, yeah, anyway, let's just leave that right there. Amen. Amen. Let's go ahead and take up the evening tithe and offering. I tell you what, take your Bibles, go to Proverbs chapter 6. You know, before I come down here, it was interesting because, you know, on Wednesday nights, I just generally take up, if you need a tithe and offering slip, just raise your hand tonight. One of our ushers will get you one. And I think sometimes, you know, we take up tithe and offering and you know, we do a little teaching on that and everything. And I think that's great. And, you know, I'm glad we do that. It's how I learned how to be faithful in my giving because it was a repetitive message I heard, you know. And what happens is when the word gets sowed into your spirit, it changes you. And that's exactly the word will work and the word will change you. But the Lord quickened me tonight as I was coming down and I was like, you know, and he quickened me to go to Proverbs chapter 6. And I want to show you something out of the passage because a lot of people think, well, the Bible doesn't talk about resources, doesn't talk about finances, doesn't talk about things. But in Proverbs chapter 6, this was a passage that I got into my spirit probably it's been a few years, I don't know, maybe 17, 18 years ago, and it was from Dave Ramsey. I was in Tennessee with Dave Ramsey, and they were teaching around finances. And like I said, it just quickened me. But I want to read this to you, because out of Proverbs chapter 6, you'll see something in the text here. And these are just nuggets, because it's important that you have financial nuggets. You not just learn to give, but you also learn to do what the Bible commissions us to do and commands us to do, so you do that. So in Proverbs chapter 6, verse 1, it says, "My son, if you become surety for your friend, if you have shaken hands and pledged for a stranger, you are snared by the words of your mouth. You are taken by the words of your mouth. So do this, my son, and deliver yourself, for you have come into the hand of your friend. Go and humble yourself, plead with your friend. Give no sleep to your eyes, no slumber to your eyelids. Deliver yourself like a gazelle from the hand of the hunter and like the bird from the hand of the fowler." Now, I just want to stop there real quick because it's important you understand, you know, what the wisest man on earth, other than Jesus, is talking about. He's talking about credit, or he's talking about surety, and he's saying one thing. He said, this is what you should do if you go into debt. You should do everything that you can do to get out of debt as quickly as you can. This is a Bible principle. It's not my principle. It's not Pastor Miranda's principle. But you should do everything that you can do as quickly as you can to get out of debt. And that's basically said, go and humble yourself, plead with your friend, give no sleep to your eyes, no slumber to your eyelids. So he's basically saying, you know, don't rest until you get this taken care of. Be attentive. Be attentive to what, to being out of debt. Does anybody believe that being debt-free is a good thing? Amen. I believe that being debt-free is a good thing. So because, you know, I know, at different times in my life, I mean, you know, where we've seen the benefits of that was that when I was debt-free, I could do more for the kingdom of God. That's the absolute truth. And so I could give more. I could do more. If somebody needed something, I was there. And, you know, God's always stretching us in our giving, and I'm thankful for that, and I know he's going to stretch me the second part of this year. So, you know, but be attentive to the word of God. Do what the word tells you to do. And verse 6, it says, go to the ant, you sluggard, consider her ways and be wise, which having no captain, overseer, or ruler, provide her supplies in the summer and gathers her food in the harvest. How long will you slumber, O sluggard, when you will rise from your sleep? A little sleep, a little slumber, a little folding of the hands to sleep, so shall your poverty come on you like a prowler, and you need like an armed man. And basically what that's saying is that, you know, we need to be diligent. We need to be active. We need to be pursuing work. We need God's made us. He's made man, he's made human beings to be active and to be creative. So it's important that you see this from the Word of God. This is what God wants for us. Amen. He wants us to be active as believers. He wants us to work with our hands. He wants us to be productive. Amen. You know, we're productive in this house, right? Amen. We're productive in seeing people get saved. We're productive in prayer. We're productive individuals for the kingdom of God. That's the greatest responsibility as a pastor we have, is that one day you'll stand before the Lord and give an account. And Miranda and I will give an account for everything that we preach. So that's why the full counsel of God is so, so important. People that come into this pulpit, they'll give a word for things that they've done. So are given account for what they've done. So just it's a great passage of scripture. You know, the Proverbs is full of wisdom. You know, I call them the one a days. There's 31. If you read one a day, you're getting the word of God sewed into your spirit. You know, so open up, read Proverbs, do the one a days. There's 31, and if it was July 6th, you know, do July 6th. You know, if it's the 23rd. I don't know what the date is. What's the date today? 24th, praise God. So if it's 24th, do Proverbs 24. You know, read one a day. It's just good to get into your spirit. It's good to see the wisdom of God. Amen? Amen. So you guys ready to give? Amen. So let's go ahead and take up an evening tithe and offering. You can make, three ways you can give. You can make checks payable to KC. You can text to give 77977. Text KC Fairmont. Give by credit or debit. Praise God. Three ways that you can give. And amen. Man, God is so good. You know, coming out of this past Sunday night, it was just a powerful, powerful night in the Lord. And, I love the family of God and love this family. It's just surreal to Pastor Moran and I. And it's just, you know, we're all busy, right? We all got stuff going on. But I just think just to stop and reflect and say thank you. And thank you for a wonderful night into the Lord. And I'm telling you, we're just ramping up. I keep hearing that. We're just coming into some things. And I'm going to look back on that wall and I'm going to see there's another date. There's another date. There's another date. There's another date. That whole wall before we leave would be filled up with nights when God visited. He came. The glory of God came down in the house and people were set free. People were healed. People were delivered. You know, answered prayer. Amen. I mean, just even this week alone, Brother David testified after Sunday night on Monday morning. Hey, I got, he's not even here tonight. I got my job back. And, you know, and it was like you could just feel the buildup of faith in the house. And I mean, so many things prophetically even breaking loose that night. So God is good. And he showed me some things. I'm going to be meeting with people over some things that I felt the Lord directed us to do as a church. And we're going to do them. We're going to do them well. Amen. We're going to see this community saved, changed, and on fire. On fire. Everybody say on fire. On fire for Jesus. Amen. Let's pray. Let's pray. Father, I thank you tonight for the word. I thank you for the spirit of truth. And I thank you, Father, for this house, a giving house, Father. And I thank you, Lord, that your word shows us the things that we need to see, Father, that we're attentive to do what your word says, what it teaches us, what it shows us, Father. That, Lord, that we're not slack, you know, concerning, Lord, the benefits that there is in, you know, an operation through salvation. So, Father, we thank you tonight. Lord, bless this offering. And, Father, I thank you, Lord, for our King's campuses worldwide. Father, that, you know, even what happened in Dallas, Dallas, you know, $1.2 million debt cancellation happening in a four-month period, Father, those miracles would take place. And Father, even as we're setting our faith for them funds to come in for this building, supernatural, there's a supernatural release. Father, we call it down tonight in Jesus' mighty name, upon us and upon this property and upon every household. Father, bless them, I pray, in Jesus' name. Amen. 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 What a testimony, huh? You know, they were in they were at King's, and I think it was Michael Hughes. The doctor always thanks me for Michael. He was like, you know, Brother Michael, Minister Michael. He's like, I just want to thank you for bringing him here, because now he's a part of my staff, and everything just went crazy for Brother Michael, Minister Michael. After he left here, I mean, it was just, and then he ended up back with doctor, and doctor always. Yeah, so Minister Michael's ready to come back, though. He said, I want to come back to my family in West Virginia. So we're gonna get him back sometime before the year's out. So, and we're working out the details, praise God. So, hey, let's get in the Word tonight. You guys ready to get in the Word? Man, I'm gonna try to start where we stopped, and we didn't get very far Sunday night, but take your Bibles real quick, and let's go to let's look at Galatians 4:18. Let's start there. Galatians 4:18. Galatians 4:18. Because what I want to talk about tonight, and you know, as I shared with you, you know, I felt like the Lord was saying, you know, we're going to be strong. We're going to be strong as Christians. We're going to be strong as believers. And as I've been studying, there were some topics around being strong that I feel is very important to cover. You know, to be spiritually, you know, to be a strong Christian, you need to be spiritually minded. You need to tap into the things of the Spirit. You know, secondly, you need to have zeal. That's what I'm going to talk about tonight. Zeal. We didn't get very far the other night because the zeal hit the house. Amen. So, and you need to be mature as a Christian. It's important you understand that, you know, God's calling us to a level of maturity. We're not to be as babes in Christ, but we're to mature in the things of God. You know, holiness, you know, that's something that we need to understand too, that God's calling us to live holy, that we're in right standing with Him, yes, because of Christ, but we live holy and steadfastness. And those are five things that we're going to cover through, I guess, through a little bit of this series. But Galatians 4:18. It says, it's fine to be zealous, provided the purpose is good, and to be so always, not just when I am with you. Father, I thank you tonight for the word of God, and I thank you, Father, Lord, for the zeal of the Lord, Father. May it rest upon us. May we be mindful, Father, of just who you are, and Lord, how compassionate and how loving you are. But Lord, even the relationship that we can enter into with you, Father, Lord, may we be zealous for the things of God in this hour, Father. May we be mindful of just the mighty outpouring of your Spirit, Father, upon us and upon the church. So, Father, we thank you tonight. Lord, give us a heart to receive, eyes to see, Father, and ears to hear what your word says. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. So, Father, we thank you for that in Jesus' mighty name. In Jesus' mighty name. Amen. It's fine to be zealous, provided the purpose is good. Can I tell you that there's a good purpose? There's a good purpose in making Jesus Christ your Lord and Savior. Because, you know, even this morning as we were in prayer for an hour, I mean, I just, sometimes it falls that way in our prayer times, and I could just hear the zealousness of prayer today, and just people, you know, just in prayer, going after things in prayer. But you know, the one thing that the Lord quickened me about was forget not my benefits. And I tell you, once you begin to position yourself in the things of the Lord, there are so many benefits that we have through salvation. And I tell you that, you know, if you remain, everybody say remain. Because see, there's a remaining that you have to have, and I'm not talking about steadfastness tonight. We need to cover that, but I'm talking about a zeal that we can be passionate about the things of God. Amen. That, you know, you can be passionate about how much you truly love Jesus. And a lot of times people say, well, you know, you're one of those on fire Christians. Yes, amen. Yes, amen. We you know, and that, see, I feel it already coming back on me again tonight because that's how we have to live. There's always going to be somebody with a water hose ready to put the fire out. There's always going to be somebody, well, you can't pray like this here. You can't say this here. You can't do that here. There's always going to be somebody ready to squelch the fire of God. Because the enemy and the world, we're not of this world. So we have to move into the arena where I'm not of this world. Oh yeah, you're one of those Christians. Yeah, I am. I am one of those Christians that I have fire. Amen. John the Baptist, there's one coming that's greater than I, that he's coming to baptize, whose sandal straps I'm not even worthy to carry, but he's coming back to baptize you with what? Fire. Fire, not water, but fire. That there's a tangible fire that can be lit on the inside of a person that you can look at situations and be like, no, my God's big, my God's able, my God's more than enough, my God. You know, you just call out the names of God and what He does and who He is, Jehovah Rapha. Just Jehovah Nisi. You begin to line yourself up with who He is in your life, and you declare such a thing. Can I tell you tonight that's the shifting right now? You've got to prophesy, and you've got to you preach to yourself. You know, and I said it the other day, because even out of, it was 2 Timothy 1, where you've got to fan the flame. Who's got to fan the flame? You've got to fan it. Amen. Yeah, the preaching, Pastor Miranda, we've got to preach. We've got to be better. We've got to preach the fire of God. So when you come in, hey, I felt something in my spirit. Something took off in me tonight. That, I'm going to do something with this. I'm leaving different. I'm leaving changed. That's the level of expectancy. Every time we meet, every time we come together, I feel the fire of God. I feel the tangible presence of God. Don't get comfortable. Remain in a place where you feel the fire of God. Where you can feel, fan that flame, stir things up. But can I tell you, that's the conditional thing. You're the one that's got to stir it up. Paul laid hands on Timothy. And there's a whole unique thing that we need to, I believe the church, and I watched Pastor Bracken after he was with Bishop Dagg on a Sunday night. He's like, I'm laying hands on everything in here in this house tonight. If you want hands laid on you, come forward. And just the power of God and the fire of God hit. Because, these are things that it's just for Sunday nights or Sunday mornings. No, we have to operate where the Holy Spirit tells us to operate and be keen to do it very quickly. Amen. I've heard that many times this year. Go quick. Make things happen quick. And there's an uneasiness about what the Lord's doing on planet Earth right now. And I believe that's the quickness that we have to learn to operate in. No pray. Even the word I had, because I'm like, Lord, that doesn't make sense. That was all I said. And then I was like, shut up, Brad. Because see, what happens is you can get into your mind. You can get into your mind about a word, because, why are people looking for jobs? What's that have to do? And then they went, there's a breaking in my favor. And that was confirmed in my spirit. And, I don't know who those three were. There could have been 33 people. All the kids left. Maybe they're looking for jobs. But it was confirmed. It was because there's a place that you can get into with God where, there's downloads. And it's not just with the pastor. It's with the congregation. It's with you. That's what happened Sunday night. What happened Sunday night? Just the presence of God. The gifts in operation. And the Chukis girl, I don't know if she's here tonight. I don't think she is. I don't even know how old she was. The one I prayed for about having a husband. But when she grabbed me by the hand, I felt a little hand crease up through, grab me by the hand, and I could feel power. I'm like, who has my hand? And I couldn't even see. I was, who has my hand? All I could feel was just, this was power. This is people tapping into something that I'm telling you, we can tap into all the time. We can tap into the presence of God. We can tap into the fire. Amen. But what happens is when we leave charged up. Because Monday morning, what's going to happen? Something's going to happen where the enemy's going to come in and try to throw something your way. But not me. I'm going to stay on fire. See, there's a choice. And see, that's the zeal of the Lord that we possess. You can possess every day of your life. You can be zealous for the Lord every day. Every day. It's not, well, some days are better than other days. You be zealous for the Lord. You know how you become zealous? I'm going to go through four things if I get to it tonight. There's certain things that you can do to keep yourself zealous for the Lord. And you know, I'm going to tell you tonight, this one's free because it wasn't in my notes, but it praise. You want to be zealous for the Lord. How you praise Him, how you come, I mean, man, worship. You can sense the breaking in the worship in this house. You get zealous for the Lord in your worship. You know, a lot of times, man, I could be thinking about five other things. Come down here, start singing a song. I'm not thinking about those five things anymore. My focus shifted. I'm now becoming zealous for the Lord. I'm now glorifying Him because you know what? He's bigger than everything that I'm worried about, that I'm thinking about. And then He'll show me how to take it back to Him later. He'll show me how through being zealous for Him. He'll say, do this, do this, do this. That's why it's important. You know, even after preaching sometimes sermons, I try to go get myself in a place where I could just take notes sometime. Write things down after a service. You know, if you're in worship, write things down. You know, there was a flow here. Not that you're trying to repeat something, but, you know, what you've experienced, what you've came into. That was, I could feel this right here or that right there. You know, it's like making mental notes. Making mental notes that, you know, God, you know, because honestly, you can be preaching one thing and then you feel like the Lord's given you something else. And sometimes it's like, well, that's not for now. That's for later. How does that happen? It's only by the Holy Ghost because my brain can't, I honestly don't have the capacity sometimes. That's why I got to go write down things. Write down the things that in the deposits that the Holy Spirit will give us. Amen. But Paul said, you know, he said in 2 Timothy 1, he said, this is why I remind you to fan into flame the spiritual gifts God gave you when I laid my hands on you. Amen. You've got to keep it stirred up. To be zealous for the Lord, you've got to keep it stirred up. You've got to remain in Him, but you've got to keep it stirred up. Praise God. You know, and I think it was Bishop Dagg said, there's nothing cool about a zealous person. Cool, COOL. There's nothing cool about a zealous person. Because a cool person is just a cool person, and a cool person oftentimes is going to get cold. I thought, that's good. A cool person. Because see, what cool people try to do is they try to fit in. Cool people just try to, I'm going to fit in here. I can be with any crowd. You're not called to be with any crowd. You're not called to be with just any crowd. If you're a believer and you're a Christian, you're called to run the race with believers. Amen. You know, there's times that you go out and minister and you witness. I still minister and witness to my friends. But I'm not going to go sit around a campfire 10 hours with friends that drink and smoke weed. I'm not going to do that. There's no benefit for me to do that. Well, you know, it's your witness. No, it's why would I put myself in that? Why? There's no reason to do that. Anyway, praise God. So there's nothing cool about a zealous person. Nothing cool. You know, sometimes, and I wrote this down. Sometimes you got to have a release in the things of the Holy Ghost. You have to have a release in the things of the Spirit. And you know, and like I said, I think about the story with David. When David danced with all his might, you know, the other night when we all started dancing in here, I went home that night and I was thinking, you know, I wasn't even close. You know, I was probably don't dance well, right? You know, the reggae is a lot easier. I can get into the swing, get into the groove. Amen. We can flow in the reggae. But when I start thinking about David when he danced with all his might so much that his britches came off. God, That's you know, the picture I have is like, you know the group that always used to have slam dancing, right? You'd go to a concert, Beastie Boys, right? You know, they would just break out and they would start running into each other, and I think that's, you know, David wasn't running into anybody, but he was dancing with all his might. He was there was something inside him that he was so joyful about the Ark of the Covenant being brought back. Look at what we're bringing back home. This belongs to God. That's the zeal, you know, that zeal and passion that he has. And I'm telling you, we can remain in the place and have that kind of zeal and passion for our lives. For our lives. You know, I would venture to say, you know, some of you guys, you know, you say, I don't know that I would dance like that at church. Do it at home. Start at home, because, you know, if you'll start at home, one of these days it'll break out in church and you'll be like, yeah, I got it going on now. I got some new moves. I learned a few at home. Be the running man. Amen. You know, just, you know, whatever it might be. You know, the shopping cart. You know, whatever you got. I mean, just bring something. Bring something. Because, you know, I think David, you know, he when I think about all his might, I see his arms. I see his legs. I see him jumping, spinning like a top. I mean, doing cartwheels, doing backflips, whatever. That's all your might. That's all your might. You know, I'm going to tell you. Listen, I'm not telling you that you have to do that to have zeal for the Lord. But zeal in a believer. You need to be zealous as a believer. Believe what you believe because of him. For not because of what Pastor Brad say, but you can't get zealous because of what I say. You can only feel the zeal of the Lord because of who he is. Because if you know, it's not to impress anybody, and that's one of the things. We're not called to do this before. The other night dancing, I'm not dancing for any of you. Heaven's sakes, I'm not that good, you know. I watched some guy the other day jump in a jump rope, and he was dancing. He was doing all this crazy stuff, you know, and he was, a friend just sent it to me from North Carolina. He was talking about golf. And he sent me this video, and this guy jumps in. It was at a driving range, and they're doing this hopscotch jump rope thing, and he jumps in, and he starts dancing. And then the next guy goes on to another video, and they show the guy try to get in. He just falls flat on his face. And, you know, that's my sense of humor sometimes, really. I crack myself up, but you know, you do it because of him. So catch that tonight. We're not doing it to impress people. We're not called to impress people. We're impress your God, the one true God. Impress him. That's what he wants you. Impress him. That he says, "Oh, my child, my good and faithful servant," or you know, you hear, "I like watching you dance. I like you. You know, you got some moves." I think it was Brother Jonathan, wasn't it? When he told the story when he was in West Virginia many years ago, him and Adalys were preaching. I think they were at our church and went down the road because one of the guys I think in our church wanted him to come and shoot guns, and so Jonathan, him and Adalys, they went out. They were just starting in their ministry. And he said they got ready to leave after they were out. I mean, this is backside of Cairo, and the guy at the very end handed them an envelope of cash. He said, "Just handed an envelope." You know, Jonathan said, "You know, I was like, you know, at first, you know," he said, "we're new in the, you know, we're fresh in the ministry. I just wanted to open it up right there and look at it." He said, "But you know, I just, you know, put it in the car. We were driving down the road and." And I said, "Dallas, look what's in the envelope." And so he looked, and it was like 100, 100, 100, 100, 100, and 100. And he stopped the car. He stopped the car, and he got out, and he just started dancing before the Lord. And he just started dancing before the Lord. He got zealous for the Lord. Because, you know, he knew what God had done. And he tells a story. He said, "You know," he said, "that started happening." And he said, "So every time it started happening, Adalys would look at me and say, 'Are you going to dance?'" And he was like, "Yeah, I'm going to dance. Because, you know, if I can make, you know, if I, you know, dance unto the Lord. Dance unto the Lord." I probably butchered a story somewhere there, but close, I reckon. Be zealous for the Lord. Amen. I'm going to give you four things, and I'm not going to be long. Four things tonight, because so take your Bibles, go to 2 Corinthians 10. 2 Corinthians 10, because I want to give you four things tonight, things that you need to do to be zealous, and things that you need to be reminded of to be zealous. 2 Corinthians 10, verse 12. I'm reading now the NLT in this verse. So be zealous, and I kind of started into it. Be zealous by not comparing yourself. You know, if the person standing beside you has got better moves, praise God. Amen. Praise God. You know, be zealous by not comparing yourself. 2 Corinthians 10, verse 12, it says, "Oh, don't worry, we wouldn't dare say that we were as wonderful as these other men who tell you how important they are. But they are only comparing themselves with each other, using themselves as the standard of measurement. How ignorant." And that's how the NLT, I like the way that reads. And I remember a time we were, and I don't know whether we were in a meeting with him personally or I can't remember. Sometimes it does run together, but I remember Dr. Rodney, you know, sharing a story. It was in preaching because I remember him sharing a story because it is one of the things that God brings before you great men, great women of God. And, you know, it listen, model yourself, learn, but be you. Be the authentic you that God's made you to be. And I remember him telling the story one time. He said, in the ministry, new into the ministry, and he said, you know, was reading Smith Wigglesworth, and he said, Smith got up at like 4 o'clock in the morning, and he prayed for 2 hours every morning, and he would walk the floors back and forth and preach, you know, just praying the Holy Ghost and pray. And so, you know, Dr. Rudney said, well, you know, I want the anointing to increase on my life. Well, then I got to get up at 4 o'clock in the morning, and I got to pray for 2 hours. And he said, you know, after about 30, 40 minutes, he said, you know, I could feel my body. You know, it was like, my body was like, you know, I I'm getting tired. You know, I went to bed at 1 and I got up at 4. You know, it was like something, but I remember this, and it was something that I took very seriously at the point that I heard it, was because even in ministry or whatever we're doing, it's, you know, we're not in a place where we should compare ourselves. And, you know, even what Paul's saying here, you know, this is one of those things that can be ignorant. That when, you know, it's like when you compare yourself with another human being on earth, amen? Model yourself, yes. Learn from others, yes. But don't compare. Don't compare. Don't compare. You know, hear this tonight. Be who God made you to be. You don't got to speak like or talk like or act like or jump like or you don't have to use people's same stories. And you kind of see it all after a while. But, you know, be you. Be the best you that you can be in your workplace. Be the best you. Be the best Christian that you can be. Amen. Is anybody, you guys with me tonight? Because, you know, we can get into comparing ourselves, and what it does is it takes us out of our assignment. It, you know, because you'll be like, well, you know, I'm I feel that I'm called to do this, but if you begin to, you know, I believe God has on this earth world changers. I've seen young men called by God. I've seen couples called by God. You know, and you know, they started out on fire. But many of them were looking over their shoulders to see who was watching, because they were comparing themselves with others. And some of those ones that I know that have such a zeal and such a passion and such a flair for the things of God, you know, and I don't question it because I believe it's very real. But I think that, people get into this mistake where they begin to, well, who's looking? Who's watching? God's watching. Keep that always in mind. God first and foremost is watching. So it's you be who you can be. You learn from others. Yes, goodness, I don't know where I would be if I didn't have men and women on this earth that I haven't learned from. Dave Ramsey earlier, I talked about him. I learned from him. Jonathan Shuttlesworth, we learned. We were under his mentor. We learned from him. Learned how to pray. Pray prayer points. I mean, I remember the first year we were in Hana. Amanda was there too, I think. You remember that first year when we were in the house down Homoa Lane or whatever, and we started praying prayer points. You remember that? And it was like, You know, and many people that were on that missions trip, they had never prayed. They had never prayed. They, you know, 10 minutes, 5 minutes. You know, we were in a prayer meeting for 2.5 hours. And we, you know what we started? We started using the Word. We prayed the Word of God, and we began to pray. And, you know, and what happened, things, the Spirit of God moved. Well, let's go on to another prayer point. And, you know, the next thing you know, people are crying. And people on the missions trip raising their hand, getting healed by God. Because God shows up. And, you know, so you learn from that stuff. Prayer points are great. We've used them many times. I know we have many things that we pray for that's consistency. I know, I think Amanda shared with me the other day, you've been using prayer points. Miranda, every Monday night, she's sitting going through her Bible, preparing prayer points, getting ready for Tuesday morning. You know, getting ready. Get yourself ready. Stir yourself up. So you learn these things. So you don't ever think, well, that's not comparing. That's wisdom. That's wisdom. We learn from others. That's wisdom. Amen. God set before us great people. We learn from them. Praise God. Number two. This is a big one. Be zealous for the soon coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. Be zealous for the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. He's coming back. I mean, he's coming back after a bride. He's coming back after the church. He's coming back after us. He's coming back after us. Proverbs 9:10, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. So, you know, it's good to have a healthy fear of God, that he's going to return. That, you know, you think about the 10 virgins. 5 were ready, 5 weren't ready. We're ready, amen, that we're zealous for the coming of the Lord. Well, Pastor, I want to do this, and I want to do that, and there's a lot of things that I want to do. Amen. So, you know, I believe there's a lot of things that I have positioned in my heart, but I remain zealous for the coming of the Lord. That eastern sky can split at any time. And I tell you prophetically, you know, we understand the hour and time which we're in. You know, Zane the other day called. You know, I could hear it in his voice, and he began talking. And as he began talking, I was like, he's speaking prophetically. And you know, he's like, you know, I've been reading my Bible, been mapping out the timeline, and he's like, man, this thing's really ramping up. This stuff is, you know, the things that are upon us are. I mean, this thing's really ramping up. He was telling his mom, and I'm like, you know, and he just began to talk, and he was timelining stuff, and he was like, you know, just everything that's going on. He was like, wow. He's like, you know, I'm not worried. You got to know my son. He's like, you know, I'm not worried. See, but having a healthy fear of the Lord is important. I'm not worried because I know my name's written in the Lamb's Book of Life. I know that I'm saved. I know that I'm going to make heaven. That's the urgency for the church. That's the urgency for King's Fairmont. That's the urgency for this state. Amen. That this isn't the only church that will be planted in West Virginia, because people need to hear the gospel. Because, you know, we can't water the message of the gospel down. People need to get saved. They need to get their hearts right with the Lord. You know, there's got to be zealous for his return. Be zealous for his return. Take your Bibles, go to 1 Thessalonians. 1 Thessalonians 5. I like this topic. First Thessalonians 5. It says, for you know quite well, verse 2, for you know quite well that the day of the Lord's return will come unexpectedly. You know, Matthew 24, even just, you know, you look at Luke, in Matthew 24, it talks about that it will be like the days of Noah. People were eating, people were marrying, it will be just like people were trading. But the day will come unexpectedly. It'll be like a day like today. We know the return is near because of the signs. The signs, the things that are happening, read Matthew 24. I'm not going to go there tonight for the sake of time, but go just read Matthew 24. And if you read it, you're like, oh, wow, this stuff's pretty real, huh? Pretty real, these things are happening on earth right now. Brother Jesse got saved out of, you know, that when we were preaching End Times in Hano, it was Matthew 24. He's like, man, I got to do something. Amen. And it spoke to me when I was younger. When I was 17 years old, I got into the Word of God and I started reading it before I was ever saved. Matthew 24, Revelations, Daniel. I got to reading about the end times and 3.5 years of peace, 3.5 years of hell on earth. I started reading that stuff. I'm like, this is pretty cool. But then there was the fear of God, because man, I need to get my heart right. Then I met her and she led me to the Lord. Praise God. God had a good plan, huh? Amen. Thessalonians 5:2 says, "For you know quite well the day of the Lord will come unexpectedly, like a thief in the night." It says, when people are saying everything is peaceful and secure, then disaster will fall on them, and suddenly, as a pregnant woman labor pains begin, there will be no escape. You know, and think about it. You know, if a Amanda knew right now that a thief was getting ready to break into her house, she's either going to run home, she's going to grab somebody from here, she's going to go home, or she's going to call the police. She's going to do something to prepare for that. But see, you know, a thief, you never know. See, that's the enemy. He's a thief. He's a liar. He's a deceiver. That's what he is. He's a fool. You call the devil a fool. That's what he is. But if we would have known when the thief was going to come, we would have been prepared. So we have to have a healthy fear. Be zealous for the return of Jesus Christ. You guys all right tonight? You're like, oh. You know, this is actually a good thing. Be zealous for the return. Be zealous for His return. 1,000 years with Christ, a millennial reign, an eternity with the King. Oh my. It makes this, I mean, this is a good life. I believe we're all having a good life here, amen? But it makes this look, you imagine walking the streets of heaven paved with gold? Yes, amen. Colors we've never seen. You know, and I mean, you know, can you imagine things we've never seen? Amen. So when a thief breaks in, you're not aware of the time in which he'll come. So be mindful. I remember when we lived in Hawaii, many mornings I would wake and I would look towards the east. And I would just like marvel, like, God, one of these days you're coming back. One of these days you're coming back. And you know, and I believed even when I was there that it could be then. I believe even today that it can be now. You know, no one knows the time or hour, the Bible says. We'll know by the signs and times. I mean, there's some things and inclinations that we have through the window of time, but we have to live ready. Amen? We have to live ready. That's why, you know, getting sin out of your life, getting things out of your life that's causing you to stumble, get those things out of your life. Live ready. Live ready for the return of Christ. Live ready for the return of Christ. Third, take your Bibles, go to Matthew chapter 6. Be zealous to pray and fast. Be zealous to pray and fast. Be zealous to pray and fast. When we fast, when we pray. You'll see this in Matthew chapter 6. And I feel like, you know, we need to ramp up the area of fasting and have some teaching and training around fasting, because the importance of it. And but be zealous to pray and fast. In the first meeting I ever had with Dr. Morocco after we had made a decision to come on with Kings, and many have heard this before, but it's worth repeating, because I know it's worth repeating. But you know, I asked him. I said, you know, Doctor, I said, I knew he was a great man of God. I didn't quite even understand, probably even at that point in time, everything that he was involved with, and you know, his handprint on the world. But I asked him. I said, you know, what's the greatest miracle, you know, that you've ever seen in church and being in ministry? What's some of, you know, like some of the things you've ever seen? And he, you know, as we was walking out the door, he just looks at me, turns around, he grabs me by the hand. I didn't know him hardly at all, and he said, "It's prayer. It's prayer. It's prayer." He said, because he said, when people get out of bed in our church at 4:00 in the morning, and pray for 45 minutes, pray from 4 to 5. He said some get up at 3. You know, Pastor Daniel Wine, he's at the church at 3:30 in the morning starting prayer meeting. Goes from 3:30 to 4:30. Then somebody else will come in from 4:30 to 5. And then they have corporate prayer. You know, there's others that will gather for corporate prayer. And, you know, they'll pray over some of the same things, and they'll be led by the Spirit to pray how the Spirit tells them to pray. But, you know, when Doctor said that to me, I didn't understand. I'll be flat honest with you. I did not understand. Because I didn't have that prayer life. I had prayed, but I wasn't, I'll pray 10 minutes here, 15 minutes here, 20 minutes here. I didn't have a consistent, because that's the word. I'll go back to where we were a few weeks ago. Consistency is the key in the kingdom. Until you develop levels of consistency in your life, you're just going to, it'll be random. It's like giving. You know, if tithing is a consistent thing for us. That goes out before our bills. Our tithe and offering goes out before our bills. It's a consistent thing. For 25 years, 26 years, it's consistent. It doesn't matter. You Chicken Little, the sky's falling. You owe this amount of money. I'm still paying my tithe. Because I know that there's protection. I know that there's protection around it. I don't question that. So, you know, but consistency is the key. And I didn't have that at that point in my life. I'm being transparent. You know, I was a pastor, brand new. Wondered why. You know, I mean, there's a lot of things. Even when we started in the ministry, I was like, man, I don't know much about this whole pastoring thing. What's a good pastor look like? What things do you do to pastor? And Brother Jonathan brought us in. He brought us up before the people in Honey, and he said, "These are your new pastors. See you later." You know, because he hadn't pastored, and you know, we had talks about this, and it was like, you know, he's like, "Well, read this book and read this book," and you know, he was an evangelist. So you know, we were young. We were young, not as necessarily as a Christian, but young in the faith. But prayer was something that shifted in my own life personally, but because it helped me develop a relationship with Him. Knowing that I can go to a God and talk to a God. You know, listening to people pray. You think that might be small, but how do people learn how to pray? By listening to others. Listening. People now pray on our prayer call. Amen. Amen. Because they listen to others pray. There's the zeal of God that came upon someone. You know, Jesse starts off on a Monday morning, and I'm telling you, he's already been up. I know he's prayed on the way to Morgantown. But I every Monday morning when he starts prayer, I hear zeal. Anybody on Monday prayer? Isn't that right? That's what you hear. And that's everybody leading prayer. You hear the zeal and passion and fire, you know, and it's like, you know, you stir yourself up. You know, at 6 a.m. in the morning, you're stirring yourself up. Fan the flame, fan the flame, fan the flame. You stir yourself up. You begin to just release that. Matthew chapter 6, I want to show you this in Scripture. Be zealous to pray and fast. There's some things that we've begun to unlock some things in this house. And I believe even in this city. And I believe even in this state. And I believe in this region. You know, I sense that because of prayer. Because of what God's doing. He's pouring out His Spirit. So these things that are taking place, they're not small. Matthew chapter 6. Let's pick up at verse 5. It says, when you pray, this is good, I want to talk about this. It says, when you pray, don't be like the hypocrites who love to pray publicly on street corners in the synagogues where everyone can see them. I tell you the truth, that is all the reward they will ever get. But when you pray, go away by yourself, shut the door behind you, and pray to your Father in private. Then your Father who sees everything will reward you. When you pray, do not babble on as the Gentiles do. They think their prayers are answered merely by repeating their words again and again. So let me stop there because, you know, we pray corporately every morning. as a church. This here is talking about an individual prayer life, relationship. Because one of the things that you can do is you can develop a relationship with God in prayer, talking to Him. But one of the key things that I love here is don't babble on. He knows what you need before you ever ask. You know, Jesus, 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 Holy Spirit, Holy Spirit, Holy Spirit. I feel like sometimes, like, even if I find myself catching myself babbling or not really getting anywhere, I'm like, get to the point, Brad. Like my spirit man, get to the point. What do you need? What things are you believing for? Get to the point. Get to the point with God. He knows what you need before you ask. And, you know, even it was today, this morning, I come across town, and I begin to think something, and I begin to think about something, and I thought about it, and all I did was think about it, and then my spirit, I begin to pray in the Holy Ghost, and then my spirit was like, open your mouth and pray to God for that thing. For the very thing that you're thinking about, activate that word. Give life to that word. That word, when it comes out of your mouth in prayer, has power. Don't just think about it. Release it. I'm telling you, and I'm like, praise God, Holy Ghost, thank you. That release that word. Don't just sit around. I should pray. 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 No, if you have to, if you're like, well, you know, I should pray about that. Yeah, does God really want to bless me? Yes, He does. He surely does. He wants to bless you. Amen. He wants to bless you. He wants to give you good things. He wants to give you good things. He wants to release good things into you. Thank you, Jesus. It says, when you pray, don't babble on and on as the Gentiles do. They think about their prayers. They think their prayers are answered merely by repeating the words again and again. This is just good stuff. Don't be like them. Jesus said, don't be like them. Don't babble on. You don't have to repeat yourself. I'm not saying you can't pray for the same thing twice. That's not what I'm talking about. Just don't rattle on. Don't babble on. It says, don't be like them, for your Father knows exactly what you need even before you ask Him. Pray like this: Our Father in heaven, may your name be kept holy. May your kingdom come. I'm reading. I learned it out of the King James Version, so when you read it out of another translation, it's not always easy. It says, may your kingdom come soon. May your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us today the food we need, and forgive our sins as we forgive those who sin against us. And don't let us yield to temptation, but rescue us from the evil one. If you forgive those who sin against you, your Father, your Heavenly Father, will forgive you. But if you refuse to forgive others, your Father will not forgive your sins. And when you fast, watch this, when you fast, or see this, it's a good place, underline that in your Bible, mark it. When you fast, don't make it obvious, as the hypocrites do, for they try to look miserable and dishevelled, so people will admire them for their fasting. I tell you the truth, this is the only reward they will ever get. But when you fast, comb your hair, wash your face, that no one will notice that you're fasting, except your Father who knows what you do in private. And your Father who sees everything will reward you. You do these things, prayer and fasting, you do these things in private. Corporate fasting and prayer is a necessary thing for the body of Christ. Corporate prayer is necessary. Doctor said that's, you know, and I believe that to be true. That's what sustained Kings for 38 years, 40 years, I don't know how many years it is. You know, prayer is what sustains a church that prays together, a church, you know, you posted that today, a church that prays together, stays together. That's true. That's true. You know, it's one of the reasons why I'm part of Kings. I knew when we moved to West Virginia, and I had some big Italian guy calling me saying, "Hey, I'm praying for you. You in West Virginia, we're praying for you. You know, we're praying from this church." And you know, and after a while, you feel that. I mean, some of you guys have been to Kings. You've been in the prayer meetings there. They're not too shabby, are they? They're pretty good stuff, isn't it, Brother Stephen? You know, it's good stuff. So it's exciting. Praise God. You know, out of even Isaiah 58, and I love this, in verse 8 and 9, and I'll read this, but this is another good place to just make a mental note around fasting. Because in Isaiah 58, verse 8 and 9, you know, when we fast and when we pray, we should believe for breakthrough. We should believe the things that we're praying about are going to happen. When we're giving up of food, when we're fasting and when we're setting our faith, we should believe those things. We should believe those things are going to break loose. You know, even as example, my kids are in here, but you know, Gracia, and Zane got married, and you know, him and Halama came and told us that they liked each other, and you know, and at the point they had shared that with us, it wasn't like we were going into group counseling or anything like that. We were going to talk to them. We just looked at them and said, we met with them for 2 minutes. I said, you know what you need to do? You need to pray and fast for 3 days. We'll talk after that. That was the conversation we had, right? You need to pray and fast to make sure this is the right person for you. Because you don't want to end up in something that's not right. If you're looking for a spouse, you're looking to be with, or did you pray and fast about it? And expect God to move in that position, in that situation. And, you know, I don't even know who told us that, but we got that from somebody else. You know, my kids said they want to get married. So I think it was Robert Morris, believe it or not. I think it was where I heard that. You need to pray and fast. You need to set your faith. You get with the Lord on this. Get with the Lord on this. Isaiah 58, and I love this chapter. I love the whole chapter. Verse 8 and 9, it says, then your salvation will come like the dawn, and your wounds will quickly heal. Your godliness will lead you forward, and the glory of the Lord will protect you from behind. Then when you call, the Lord will answer, yes, I am here. He will quickly reply, remove the heaviness yoke of oppression. Stop pointing your finger and spreading victorious rumors. These are the rewards. There are great rewards when we set our faith. Keep going down through that real quick, Isaiah 58, verse 11. The Lord will guide you continually, giving you water when you are dry. Keep going. And restoring your strength, you will be like a well-watered garden, like an ever-flowing spring. Keep going. Some of you will rebuild the desert ruins of your cities. Praise God. That's a powerful word. Then you will be known as the rebuilder of the walls and a restorer of the breach, your homes, it says there. But you'll be a restorer of the breach. Set your faith to be that in the kingdom. Go back and read Isaiah 58, just for the sake of time. It's a powerful, powerful chapter, and I need to preach on that sometime too. But I love that. But be zealous to pray and fast. We come out of these last 2 weeks, and I think Don pointed it out last night. We were talking about it, and he was like, we've had 30, 40 people in prayer, 50 people in prayer through the week. We started 6 years ago, two of us in here. Two of us just praying. When COVID hit, it was like, nope, there was, I think we got to three or four every once in a while, you know. We were trying to, you know, the kids would come down and join us. You know, come on, guys. Come on, we're going to go hold a prayer meeting. You don't despise a day of small beginnings, huh? And, you know, and now there's 40, 50 people weekly in prayer, tapping into the things of God. Amen. Praying for the community, praying for, you know, there's miracles that need. People need miracles around us. They need miracles. Can I tell you that people depend upon us in prayer? People depend upon us in prayer. This state depends upon us in prayer. The next president of the United States depends upon us in prayer. That's how serious prayer and fasting, we need to teach on it, because I believe that God wants to unlock some things through fasting. You know, health, people have health issues. Fasting it can be a necessary thing to release miracles in people's lives. Amen. I think it was Caroline Leaf. LaDonna was, I think you and I were talking about that. Caroline Leaf talks about fasting, right? She does a whole thing on it. Was it you and I talking about that? Is that the lady's name, Caroline? Dr. Caroline? I don't know. Somebody and I were talking about it, just how the rebuilding of stem cells and things like that, and how restorative things can be fixed in your body. And doctors, you know, it's why fasting has become so popular. You know, people are like, you know, we're going to do a 12-hour fast, you know, and they're doing it for health reasons. But because it's biblical, there's biblical things around it. There's benefits around it. When you fast, when you pray, praise God. And lastly, the fourth thing, be zealous for, and this is a big one, be zealous by not forgetting what the Lord's done for you. Man, that's good. Isn't that good? Be zealous for not forgetting what the Lord's done for you. Be zealous for, I mean, by the blood of the Lamb and the word of our testimony, we overcome. Don't forget. Don't forget what He's done for you. He positioned you. He set you free. He delivered you. He helped you. He promoted you. Don't forget the things that He's done for you. And I think sometimes it's, you know, I'm reminded of how good God is in the miraculous God we serve. And you know, and I never, as a pastor, and as a pastor of this, I never want to take anything for granted when somebody gets a miracle. I mean, you know, somebody has something happen. We don't take those things for granted because we know God's done it. We know He's done it. He's used us as a vessel to be a part of this. What a privilege, amen. What a privilege that, you know, it's like what I say about prayer. What a privilege that we can pray. You guys, we can pray for the next president of the United States. We can pray that, you know, the agenda, the one world agenda be put off longer so that more people come into the kingdom of God. That while we're here, we can do that. That we can be in a place of remaining zealous for the things of the Lord. I remember Amanda looked at me, it was probably 10 years ago. And she said, is it wrong for me to pray for more time? And you know, I honestly looked at her and said, you know, I don't know. That's what I just flat out told her. I said, you know, I don't know. I said, let me pray about it. And that's what I told her. So let me pray about it. And I remember getting back with her. I said, you know, Amanda, I said, I feel God knows the time in which He's coming. We don't know. Well, we don't know. We got to live ready. We got to be zealous for the Lord. We've got to remain in Him. But, you know, I said, I personally don't feel like it's wrong to pray that God gives us more time, because I believe there's a harvest of souls that God has in mind to be saved. I believe that, we, you know, even right now, we're given more time to be zealous in the things of the Lord to get as many people to heaven as we can. And it's what, Brother Jesse, I believe that 50 people within weeks, months, I believe 50 people, you'll lead 50 people to Christ, you and Christine. 50 salvations. 50 salvations. It won't be just in Hana. It'll be on other islands even. It'll be on other islands. You'll see a harvest, because you're not leaving here weak. Just go ahead and stand up. Let me pray. You're leaving here with a fire. You're leaving here with a fire. Just raise your hands. Father, I thank You. I thank You for a fire and a zeal, Father, that You're placing in them. Father, that, Lord, even as You're positioning and You're calling them, Lord. Father, Lord, you know, it's not for people to understand, but it's Your understanding. And so, Father, I pray, Lord, even tonight, a greater release of power comes upon each of them, Father, and upon their children, Father, that, Lord, that, you know, Lord, it's the compelling, those that are lost, those that are unsaved, and, Lord, that those would need to be discipled. I thank You, Father, that God, You've made them disciples to become great disciple makers. So, Father, I thank You tonight, Lord, that the fire of God would be upon them. Father, they would burn with a passion, and they would burn with a fire and a zeal of the Holy Ghost. Of the Holy Ghost. And so, Father, I thank You for that anointing. Lord, they're leaving here, you know, with a flame. With a flame, Father. And I thank You, God, now. Now, the Lord says now. So, Lord, I thank You. I thank You, Father, for that. And Lord, I thank You, Lord, even tonight, I thank You, Father, for what, Lord, just a greater fire and
and a greater love and a greater compassion, Father, for the lost. Lord, that, you know, Lord, it's not a matter of moving, but Lord, it's a matter of purpose, and it's a matter of assignment. So Father, I pray, God, even just a quick work in Jesus' mighty name. In Jesus' mighty name, Lord, let them burn for you, Father. Let them burn for you in Jesus' name, every one of their kids, that they would see 10 souls apiece as well. Father, thank you for that. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name.
You won't have to explain it. People will ask. You won't have to. You know, God, I'm telling you, God's already clearing a way. God's clearing a way where people are, you know. God's clearing a way. I don't know. God's going to use you to, and I believe this prophetically, but God's going to use you guys to help plant churches. You know, I see the transitioning back and forth, and I mean, I'm not saying it's back to West Virginia, back to Hawaii. I don't know. I just see a back and forth. Well, that's Carl Louis. I don't know. I just see a back and forth, and it's just like, but it's going to be easy. It's people. You've learned to run at a pace. You've learned to run at a pace that others don't know how to run at, and that's the honest truth. You've learned to run at a pace that others aren't familiar with, because you've been planted and you've been rooted, and that's a very special thing. It's a very special thing. Just because you planted yourself and you've rooted yourself, you know, man, it's a special thing. This is me. You always have family here. You know that. That's me coming out of the Spirit. Wanting me to start saying things. I'm going to get back in the Spirit. Praise God. Whew. Be zealous for not forgetting what the Lord has done for you. Mm. Don't lose zeal for life. Don't lose zeal for life. You know, I'm not going to lose zeal for my wife. I do some of the silliest things, and I know it's because I love her. And I'll dance in front of her sometimes. She's like, "Will you just quit? Will you just quit?" You know, and I'm not crazy dancer. You know, and, you know, I was just like, "Hey, Miranda, you know this move?" Or, you know, just silly stuff. You know, but I'm crazy about her. I'm absolutely 100% crazy about her. Be zealous for your friends. Be zealous for your family. Man, you know, be zealous to live. When you get up, be zealous for life. So don't lose your zeal. Don't lose your zeal. Amen. Don't lose your zeal. Don't lose your passion. Don't lose your fire. Listen, if people are trying to steal your passion, your zeal, your whatever, recognize it. Recognize that. You know, be you know, because in life, people need things. You know, we're talking about reaching the lost. We're talking about going out into the world. People have questions. So we have answers. Amen. It's like E.F. Hutton. We have answers. We the church have answers. So be able to respond to them and give them a good answer. Give them a godly answer. But you know, I tell you sometimes, you know, when sometimes multiple things can hit a person's life. Multiple things. You can have multiple things and multiple things coming at you. Man, that's where you've got to go back to the areas of prayer. You got to be zealous for prayer. You got to be zealous to fast. You got to be zealous to be filled up. It's what I talked about, you know, a week or so ago. That was go back and you got to be filled up. You've got to stay filled up because listen, if you have any part of you that's not filled up, you know, it's so the temptations of life, the things, the cares of the world. You know, Pastor Brandon preached about that. But it's like those things will come in and they'll disrupt. But you've got to stay filled up. You've got to stay connected to the vine. You've got to have a relationship with the Lord, with the King. And so, you know, Grace and I were talking the other day. Like, you know, relationship is the key. Relationship is the key. We all have to have a relationship with the Lord. You know, once you get into the age of accountability, I mean, you know, you are responsible to have that relationship. Amen? Amen. Praise God. I don't have anything else. This is it. But be zealous. Man, isn't life good? I mean, honestly, isn't it good? It's good. It is a good life. You know, stress, blah. Don't like it, don't want it, don't need it. Amen. I don't turn people away that are stressed. Amen. It's like the anointing. You know, when come, let's go. Let's go talk. Let's go reason together. Let's come to a life group meeting, a men's meeting. Let's get filled with the joy of the Lord. Let's lay hands on our brothers and pray. Let's believe that we're leaving here better than when we came in. Amen. That's what, you know. Yeah. I don't know. That's it. Be zealous for the things of God. Love Him. Love Him with a passion. I've got to love Him more than I love anything in the world. I've got to love Him more than I love my wife, love my kids. Yeah, they're right at the top too. But I've got to love God first. I've got to have that with Him. I didn't always understand that. I always thought, well, you know, you got to love your family first, and that, you know, and of course I do love my family, but man, if I love God with all my heart and all my mind, loving my family gets really easy. It gets really easy if I love Him, because you know what He commissions me to do? What's that? Love others. Amen. Yeah, 1 John. We went through 1 John, didn't we? Love your brother. Love your sister. Love your neighbor. So if I love Him, I have His mind. I have His mind. Amen. Let the Holy Spirit touch you. Let the Holy Spirit just move. Let's go ahead and stand to our feet tonight. Minister, if you would. Pastor Moran, you have anything closing? Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord.